As an ice cream lover, vanilla is one of those flavors that's just always going to hit the spot. It's comforting and nostalgic, and it goes well with whatever mood I'm in. But sometimes vanilla can be a little boring, if you catch my drift. Sometimes I'm in the mood for chocolate or cookie dough or maybe something wacky, like pistachio if I'm feeling frisky. Whether it's a midnight snack or an afternoon delight, my friends at adamandeve.com can get you the right flavor for whatever mood you're in. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, plus free shipping, which includes rush processing. But that's not all. When you select your one free item, you'll also get a free kit that includes an item for him, something special for her, and something we know you'll both enjoy. They offer discreet shipping as your privacy is a priority, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. Just enter offer code Abby, A-B-B-Y, at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby, code Abby.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, if you want to listen to the full Burt Show every day uninterrupted, we got no ads on that thing, all you have to do is become a bonus BS subscriber. That's bonus Burt Show. Find out more at theburtshow.com/bonusBS.
The Burt Show.
I got to say, Mo, when you sent this and I watched it, I'm like, I think this might be the most creative way anybody ever got busted cheating. And talk about like the universe really coming into play to help you get caught.
You're right, because everything had to fall into place.
Everything, literally every little piece leading up to him getting that dude's phone led to her getting busted. So please explain what I think is one of the most fascinating ways a wife got busted cheating on her husband.
Just when you thought you've heard all the stories, all of the wildest stories about dating and cheating, this one, I'm willing to bet you have never heard of anything like this happening before, ever.
I've been doing this show for 13 years, and I have never heard a story like this.
And we have a lot of cheaters on here.
We do. And so this guy, and the way he details the story, I think you'll agree that this don't feel fake at all.
No.
Like, the way he's telling it, if you could see it, you definitely believe it even more. It's on a podcast called Talk Clearer. And the guy, I'll leave most of the details up to him to tell you in the video, because he's gonna clarify it. But he's going to see someone that he just met, and he's trying to set up a date with her, get to her. His phone dies, so he ends up having to write her number on his hand because he knew that the phone was going to die. So when he got close to his destination of where he was trying to meet her, he was lost, and he needed some help. So he stops by a barbershop where two guys are outside of the barbershop having a drink late night, and he asks for some directions and some help. Here's what happened.
A woman hit me up. I was supposed to come over to her house in Jersey. The cab was like $70 from my place. My phone is dying. I write down her number on my hand. I get to the apartment with the number on my hand, dead phone. So now I'm like, okay, I don't know what to buzz. I don't know anything. I walk a couple blocks. I find like a main street. There's a barbershop. There's two dudes in the barbershop hanging out after hours. They're just drinking and chilling. And I explained to them, like, yo, I came all this way for a little booty call. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, oh, we've been there. I was like, one of y'all got a phone I could use? So the dude has a teardrop tattoo and everything. He's like, yeah, use my phone. I type the number into the phone, and it says wifey.
Stop.
I'm like, let me go take this in the bathroom real quick. I'm going to talk to her. She answers the phone. She's like, what the f*** do you want? And I was like, surprise. It's me, Matt. She goes, where the f*** are you? It's like, I came into the barbershop. Is this your husband? She's like, he's going to kill you. He's literally going to kill you. My dumb ass still goes to her house.
No, not you. You're
Yeah, I was like, I came all this way.
So, Abby, imagine putting, like, so the girl you're going to go hook up with, putting her number in a random man's phone, and she pops up as wifey. You asked her husband, unbeknownst to you, to use his phone to call his wife because that's who you were hooking up with. And he had a tear tattoo, which means he took somebody.
Exactly what that means.
That's what it means if you killed someone if you have a tear tattoo?
Allegedly.
Typically. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
We don't know nothing here, but allegedly. That's what the streets say.
The universe was feeling messy that day. The universe was a little bored. they were like, let me bring two people together that have no business being in the same place, but I'm gonna make something happen that's gonna be so messy, we're gonna be laughing about it for weeks.
Because, I mean, he had to write that number on his hand, his phone had to go dead, mm-hmm. He had to go over there, find that barbershop. The two men, including the husband, just happened to be standing outside.
Late at night.
Then he had a 50-50 chance, right?
Of who you asked the phone for, right?
And then he gets the phone from the husband. And then he still goes and sees her. And
that's the worst part to me. So, quick correction. The podcast is called Talk Claire Lear. And I just, after all of that, I don't understand how you're still willing to take this risk.
I mean,
she told them herself. He's going to kill you.
Yeah.
That, I would have handed that phone back so fast and got on about my business.
And that's his wife. She would know him.
Exactly.
All right. So I want to remind you guys, today is the last day to vote for the busted baby bracket for the Uggo 8. We have our aesthetically challenged newborns up there in our busted baby bracket. So we did something a little different this year. So you can go to thebirdshow.com and you can vote, because today is the last day for our Uggo 8. And then tomorrow, the Fugly 4 will be revealed.
That's what we all been waiting for.
This is what, and I feel like we might end up with a Conehead matchup.
I think so.
Because, I mean, Coneheads have been very, very strong. For those that don't know, if you've never experienced the beauty of childbirth or know somebody that has, like, when a baby is coming through the birth canal, that's a tight space, man. So depending on how long they're in there and how long you're pushing, those heads, and they're very soft, so they kind of form in a nice little cone head shape when they come in. Now, they go back to, like, you know, they smush back down.
It gets back.
Yeah.
To where it was supposed to be. Yeah.
But I think all of ours made it except for yours, Abby, right? You had to get a new favorite.
I'm so upset. Baby 15 got kicked out by baby 13. So now my new fave is baby 11 because I want him to take it down. But also baby 11 kind of looks like when you get super mad and a vein pops out of your forehead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Baby 11 looks like it's got some heat under its butt.
That's your Harry Potter baby, right?
Harry Potter baby. But also I may switch allegiance to baby 20 depending on if they go up against each other. Baby 20 looks like it's foaming at the mouth.
Yeah.
I love how y'all refer to him as it.
Well,
have you noticed that?
No,
no.
I have not. You know why?
It's because we
don't. Well, maybe we should just say they then, because we don't know the proper pronouns, because you can't tell by looking at the pictures. And that's with any newborn, if it's a he or a she. So I think we've just resorted to saying it.
I've seen the pictures. It's okay to say it.
Okay. All right, so head to thebirdshow.com and get your votes in.
The Burt Show.
Time for entertainment buzz.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Rebel Wilson woke up yesterday and chose absolute violence because she decided...
She did.
...to start talking about this upcoming book that she's ready to release. And she decided to reveal the name of somebody she is calling an a-hole in the book. Don't take a shot every time she says the word a-hole here.
So when I first came to Hollywood, people were like, yeah, I have a no a-hole policy. Means like, yeah, I don't work with a-holes. I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that sounds sensible, logical. But then it really sunk in what they were meaning by that, older people in the industry, because I worked with a massive a-hole. And yeah, now I definitely have a no a-holes policy. The chapter on said a-hole is chapter 23. That guy was a massive a-hole.
So then on Sunday night, she decides to post on her Instagram story and reveal who said a-hole is. And I'm wondering, if you had to think of any big name in Hollywood, who gives you major a-hole vibes that would just clash with Rebel Wilson?
Well, I know the story, so I know who the a-hole is. And while I do think he is, he's an eccentric dude, especially because of the movies that he's done. And I feel like he could be difficult to work with, but the level of a-hole that she's describing him, I felt was a little bit shocking.
I feel like I might know who he is, but I don't know his name. Does he have long black hair?
No.
Oh, Russell Brand?
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, yeah. Have y'all seen Russell Brand's TikToks recently?
No.
Russell Brand has found the Lord.
Has he?
He's come on TikTok, really? And he's doing, like, he's talking about Easter. He's talking about getting saved. I don't know if he's been possessed by, like, a Christian demon, but he's become like a completely different person.
Sticks in his brand.
He had a total rebrand. So the man that Rebel Wilson is talking about is Sacha Baron Cohen. She said, the a-hole that I'm talking about in one chapter of my book is Sacha Baron Cohen in Rebel Rising, a memoir. She said that she felt bullied by some people in the book industry to not say anything, but she wanted to come out and be upfront with it. So now Sacha Baron Cohen's people are coming out in a statement. They told People Magazine, while we appreciate the importance of speaking out, these demonstrably false claims are directly contradicted by extensive, detailed evidence, including, these are big words, contemporaneous documents,
yes,
film footage, and eyewitness accounts from those present before, during, and after the production of The Brothers Grimsby, which is the movie that they worked on.
I was like, just say you got receipts.
That's,
I mean,
all.
That whole entire sentence was just like, receipts.
I started to think you lying when you pull out words like that size. You try and go over my head with something.
So I guess we're going to have to read the book to get the detail of some of the things Sacha Baron Cohen allegedly did.
She said it's in chapter 23, so if you want to bookmark your Kindle before it comes out. But I have to say, even though I think it's a little messy, what a great tease for the book, because now I want to know exactly what he did to be an a-hole. But the problem is that, yeah, there will be some people that buy it because of the story, but all the tabloids are just going to go straight to chapter 23 and tell me the day it comes out anyway. Honestly. So I feel like you've just burned a bridge for no reason, really. Okay, so you know how I feel about remakes and sequels and bringing back old storylines that nobody asked for. Well, we've got another sequel decades after the original came out.
Oh boy.
John Tucker Must Die is allegedly getting a sequel with the original cast. They're talking about how a script has already been created with all of the original cast. So it'll include like Ashanti, Penn Badgley, Brittany Snow, Sophia Bush, everybody getting back for John Tucker Must Die. But my question is, who is asking for this?
I didn't see the first one.
I didn't see the first one either.
Oh, I did back in college. I saw it a little bit late in life. But I mean, it is one of like those classic movies that just let it be what it is. Mm-hmm. It was stick the landing. It was hysterical when I saw it the first time. We don't need to see a second storyline. They're all old now. They're not in high school. It doesn't make sense anymore. We don't need to see where John Tucker is unless he is in fact dead. Spoiler alert, he does not die in the end of the movie.
I'm with you.
Okay, there's a tweet going viral that's asking about people's hear me out celeb crush. It's from an account called Cosmo. So people are sharing like their obscure celeb crushes, like the Mayhem guy from the Allstate commercial, Candace Owens, Jack Skeleton from The Nightmare Before Christmas, the mom from Bluey, and the woman from that plane that went viral where she's like, that mofo is not real.
Oh, yeah. Oh wow. That is taking celebrity a little loosely.
So I'm wondering, do you guys have a hear me out celeb crush, like maybe a cartoon?
Hear me out. He is a zaddy, right? And he's got the greatest sense of humor. He will make you laugh and he makes you feel safe. Tom Bergeron.
Tom Bergeron.
Tom Bergeron.
No, because he's like grandpa to me. Like, I put him bone Tom Bergeron because I just want him to like read me a bedtime story.
Give me that gilf. Go on.
I don't think I have one. I feel like all of my crushes, you wouldn't have to hear me out. Like, you would understand.
All you have to say is Rihanna.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you'd get it.
I'm going to let you sit on it. I feel like in like 15 minutes, something's going to pop into your head. And you're going
to
be like, okay.
I'll try to get you one.
All right, Instagram is about to be banned in one state for kids under 16. I'll tell you which state is about to put more restrictions on the app on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
The question is he the a-hole because he wants his wife to share her food? Now, I think this is going to be one of those instances where you can get, or you can feel like, no, this is who I am. You have to accept me for who I am. He has a love language. She has a different love language. So now we're going to have to find a compromise. So even though it sounds like something small and trivial, like sharing food, I think that could be, it could turn into something bigger if you don't address it. You know what I mean?
I do.
I most got the email.
Hey, Burt Show. I need you to settle a point of contention between me and my wife. I love my wife and have no issue sharing any food item with her, whether she asks or not. She could literally take the food out of my hand and it wouldn't bother me.
Couldn't be me.
You ain't taking nothing out of my hands.
I'm gonna fight you.
My wife, in the meantime, completely loses it when I eat her leftovers or items that have been sitting in the fridge for days without asking her.
Hi, it's me. I'm the problem.
She says it's a matter of respect. And I say it's a matter of love. So, am I the a-hole because I feel like sharing food is just an expression of love and comfort? The hungry husband.
So I am that person that I, unlike Bert, who's like, for the longest time, he's said food is just to give him energy, gets him from A to B. There isn't a lot of enjoyment there. I get excessive enjoyment from good food. Like, I love good food. I love good restaurant experiences. So if I'm going somewhere, I'm getting something specific. For instance, if I'm going to our favorite Mexican restaurant, Taxco, I'm getting the enchiladas verdes with chicken and two sides of rice. So I can make this a two-parter. I'm going to have one for dinner, and then I'm going to have one for lunch, right? Uh-huh. Don't mess with my green sauce, okay? So if I come home, and I think about this, like I actually will be verbal in the car as I'm driving home, and I'll be like, yeah, because I know I got leftover Mexican food in the fridge. And if I get home and it's not there, I would be livid. I would be very upset because I do feel like it's a lack of respect because that's the food I ordered. That's the food I want. And if you see leftovers, you just ask if you could have them. So to the hungry husband, you both have different expressions of love, okay? I'm trying to find a compromise here, but I'm very much on your wife's side. I do not want you touching my leftovers because I would be upset. It seems small and trivial, but I would be upset about it.
Yeah, just because something wouldn't bother you doesn't mean that your wife isn't allowed to be bothered by it.
There you go.
So, for example, you saying she could take the food out of my hand and it wouldn't bother me. Okay, but is she? Because it would be different if your wife was going into the fridge and taking your enchiladas verdes or that lava cake that you have left over from Chili's. Because I know that thing is really good and you were excited about it and you were looking forward to eating it. But it doesn't seem like your wife is doing any of that. It just seems like you seem to have no boundaries around the things that maybe she's planning to have or the meals that she's wanting to eat later. So I think that you are completely in the wrong here. I know that you don't see it as a big deal, but to her, it probably feels like you're crossing boundaries if you're going in and eating the food that she's planning to have.
Yeah, I can't disagree with y'all. I would love to, but I can't. And it is different for me because it's the anticipation of it. Like,
right.
if my lady takes some food and I have it, like we just made it, I wouldn't care. She'd like, can I have some of that? I wouldn't. But that feeling of you coming home, you know something is there, it's been on your mind, and you get home and to find out that someone else ate it, I don't see any love in that. I don't know where there's no love in that. I would be just as upset. I get where she's coming from.
Same thing. Literally just happened. I'm trying not to drink during the week. It was a long week. So I got home and I was like, I'm going to have me a glass of Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah.
I opened the fridge. I look for that Whitehaven. The bottle's not there.
Nah.
Exactly.
Yeah, nah.
And I turned and I knew what happened, right? But I wanted to make a point of it. So I turn around and I look at my husband. I go, hey, where's that bottle of Sauvignon Blanc? He's like, it must have disappeared.
I hate when they just walk out like that.
He's like, would you like me to go to the store and get you some more? And of course, being like a typical woman, I was like, no, I'm fine. I don't need anything. He went to the store and he came back 10 minutes later.
Okay, as he should have.
So that's what it means when wine's got legs. It just walked out and moved on.
Exactly what
happened. Exactly.
So real quick, I reached out to Hungry Husband to see if he would come on the air.
Oh, you did?
And I get this email back, and it's real quick. It says, hey, Tommy, I'm looking forward to hearing everyone's feedback, and although I'd like to come on the show with you, there is a catch. I am actually the wife. So is the wife that emailed us all along. She says, my husband is very analytical, and every time this comes up and we get feedback from people, we know he assumes the feedback is because they're my friends or partial to me and because I'm a woman asking women. No. So in order to once and for all get a fair response, I wanted people who don't know us to assume his perspective when discussing the issue. He isn't a listener, so my plan was to play the segment for him afterwards if you guys read it, no matter the outcome. Ooh. I'd be happy to come on with a voice disguiser afterwards if you'd like, but really don't want the cast knowing the questions coming from a female listener before they share their thoughts. Signed, not the a-hole.
Did we just get called sexist? Is the Burt Show sexist?
No, she just wanted her. She wanted,
but now I'm confused as to who's taking the food.
The wife.
She is. She is.
Oh, yeah.
She's the hungry wife.
But see, the husband always thinks people side with her because she's either asking other women or asking her friends.
No, sex means nothing. Sex means nothing when it comes to leftover Mexican food. Don't touch my food.
I always tell my wife, Renee, on her tombstone, I'm going to write, I just wanted a taste.
Yeah, not all is fair in leftovers, for sure.
Hey, thanks for checking out the Burt Show's podcast. If you like what you hear here, and let's be honest, we know you do, we would love a review when you're done listening. And you know what? 5 stars goes a long way for us. Thanks for listening.
The Burt Show.
It's the dark side of realtors in real estate. Some of the craziest things real estate agents have seen, or people selling their homes have seen or have had to actually be a part of. There was no lack of stories,
I would imagine.
Yeah. I don't think you had to look far for these.
I went into some places that I didn't expect to see myself, but I came out with some great stories, and that's what matters, man.
Are you okay? Because this is, what, your third now deep dive into some darkness? You know, I don't want it to change you.
We started with Disney, then we did Chuck E. Cheese, then we did movie theaters, and now we're doing real estate, so it's my fourth.
Yes.
I kind of like it. I think this is how I came up with the busted baby bracket. All right, so first, on her podcast, Real Estate Real Laughs, LA-based real estate agent Valerie Fitzgerald shared a client faked their own murder to get out of a contract.
What? Wait, how?
I don't know. I don't have the specifics because you have to listen to the entire podcast episode. And apparently she doesn't share names, and she deals with a lot of celebrities. But yeah, said a client faked their own murder to get out of a contract.
I guess that's one way to do it.
Yeah. That is one way to do it.
Well, celebs have death hoaxes all the time. It wouldn't surprise me if this was a pretty high profile client.
She walked into, and this is also from Valerie Fitzgerald. She says she walked into a Beverly Hills home about to hit the market, had no furniture, just tall rows of cages filled with snakes. The seller was a well-known rock star. She won't name names. She said, I told him I couldn't show the house like this with all the snakes. And he said, but they're my kids.
I wonder who that was.
I don't know. There was some suggestions that it was like a member of the band Slayer who has like an affinity for snakes or something like that. But so, yeah.
No, it was just Taylor Swift in the middle of her Reputation era.
There you go. All right. Next, an agent said, my favorite thing I've seen at a property for sale. And I'm going to go ahead and give the kid warning here. I'm going to be delicate with the language, but some of this stuff is going to be a little hard to explain. So the favorite thing this agent saw, a primary bedroom had some very exciting gymnastic apparatus.
Ooh.
That made it clear that the sellers not only liked to have private parties, but they liked people to watch. There was an actual viewing platform.
Come on.
In the bedroom where people could be above the bed looking down.
What? I sound like one of them books y'all like to read.
Yeah, this is no surprise to me.
All right, next. One seller wanted a lock for the fridge because agents were stealing her food. Not people coming in to see the house, the agents. She canceled her listing contract and demanded a gift card to a local grocery store as payback for the stolen food. There's video surveillance of a guy who drank right from the seller's milk carton.
Wow, no. That's disgusting.
In this economy, give them that grocery store gift card.
Like they were just, they were opening the fridge and just going in and taking stuff.
I always thought that was weird, being that trusting in people's food that you don't know.
Mm-hmm. All right. This one is, it's just so weird. And I would love to be a fly on the wall if you're like looking at a house and there's somebody hiding under the covers. So the seller of this house, normally when somebody comes in, you do a showing, the seller leaves, right? You vacate the property and then you come back after a potential home buyer comes through. So this seller decided that they wanted to stay in the house for the showings. And she hid under the covers of her bed. So not under the bed. She was literally laying in the bed with the covers over top of her.
It's not even a good hiding spot.
No, it wasn't subtle. It was very strange. When confronted by the listing agent, like, why are you hiding under the covers when we're bringing people in? She always denied it.
What?
It's so obvious, though.
I know.
We're looking at you.
But she's like, I'm not here. You can't see me. I can't see you.
So imagine being the agent and bringing people in, and there's a body underneath the covers, and it's not moving. She's just there. And then afterwards, your agent's like, hey, why are you doing that? She's like, I'm not doing that. I don't know what you're talking about.
What are you talking about?
All right, this one. cute or creepy, you all decide. An agent had a client go under contract multiple times, but she would back out right after the home inspection every single time. The agent stuck with it, hoping it would turn into a commission check. It turns out that the client wasn't shopping for a house at all. She was shopping for a husband. She had a huge crush on the home inspector and would go under contract on a house just to have an excuse to see him. The agent had to fire her when she started calling the inspector at night.
She knows she can, like, email him or DM him. There's other ways rather
say,
than...
Say hello.
Yeah, say hello.
Uh-huh.
I'm going creepy, especially because she kept doing it.
Yep. Yeah. All right, so this is going to be the last one for this round. Because the other one... I'm gonna have to do on our bonus content because it's a little graphic.
Those are the best ones,
right? So mm-hmm. I'll save that one for bonus, like we did with the dark side of the movie theater. It's not as gross; it's just really twisted and messed up. But the last one here, and this one's intense. So David Keene, an LA-based agent, remembers the time a client, which was one of the city's most in-demand dominatrixes, and I mean they got to buy houses too, right?
Yeah,
showed up to his office with the CEO of a major company in the back seat of her Range Rover. He was blindfolded, hogtied, and naked with a gag in his mouth.
What? Now, that's definitely in the books that we read. I think I've seen this film before.
Imagine doing that with your client and being like, I got to go look at a house. I'm throwing you in the back of the car and we're going and you're just going to have to stay there.
That's hilarious.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
The Burt Show.
All right, so this email is about a spring breaker who used her college tuition to go on spring break and now doesn't know what to do. Abby has the email.
I made a decision recently that I'm now regretting. Instead of using the money my parents gave me for tuition, I decided to go on spring break to Cancun. Stupid.
Yeah, that wasn't smart.
I was having serious FOMO listening to all my friends plan this trip that I made an impulsive decision and booked a last-minute flight and joined a friend in their hotel room. I'm supposed to make monthly payments to the registrar for my tuition fees. I thought I could pick up some extra shifts at work to cover the costs, but I'm coming up way short. There's no way I'm going to have enough money to pay for the month of April. I'm considering two options, and both of them suck. Option one is opening up a credit card to get a cash advance. It'd be a quick fix, but I'm worried it'll take me forever to pay off, and I could end up in even more debt. Option two is coming clean to my parents about what happened. It's the honest approach, but they're going to be livid that I mismanaged the money. Even the idea of telling them makes my stomach turn. I know I shouldn't have gone, but I had the best time in the moment. It was totally worth it. What do you think I should do? Thanks, Camilla.
All right, Mo, you're in her situation. What do you do?
I think you made your bed. You got to lay in it. If you want to be a man at night, you got to be a man in the morning, as they say. And I think this is one of those situations. So, I mean, instead of going to the credit card route, what I would do is go to my parents and just own it. I would own it. I messed up. I know I messed up. I need the money. And I would find a way to, whether it's picking up a job here or there or whatever you got to do, to pay your parents back and ensure them that you will pay them back. Because to me, that's the only way you can be responsible in trying to fix your mistake.
Option two is the only way. Yeah. Because I'm assuming if you're going to your parents for more money, they probably have the ability to pay for it. You would know whether or not your parents are kind of like, this was it. Yeah. So I would go to your parents and say, look, I messed up. I did something stupid. It's just the month of April. Can you put me on a payment plan? I'll even pay interest. I would rather pay you guys than some stupid credit card company and potentially get into even more debt. I would like to think that most parents are going to be really understanding about this, because we've all made dumb decisions. I'm sure your parents did something stupid when they were your age too. So go in with humility, ask them to put you on a payment plan and just, you know, be real, real sweet about it.
Yeah, this is going to be a sweep. This is going to be unanimous. I got myself into a little bit of credit card debt back in the day in my early 20s, and I had to go hit up the bank of dad, and he loaned me the money so I could pay off the credit card, and then I paid him back every single month. Bank of Dad had incredible interest rates. They were zero. So I paid, and it took me a couple years, but every single month I wrote him a check, and then finally I got to write him the very last check, and I paid off that entire thing. So yeah, while he was slightly disappointed, but I remember that the more responsible thing was telling him and letting him pay me, and then I could pay him back with no like stupid 24% APR, whatever. I think that's going to show maturity and growth by doing that. It's going to suck, and it, you know, having to admit that you made a mistake and to come clean. But in the end, that's going to be the smart thing to do.
I wish I had that concept when I was younger, that your parents, like Abby said, were once young as well. Like, they typically will understand if you go to them with openness and honesty.
You always think if you're going to dodge it, like, oh, I'm going to outsmart them, they'll never catch me. But honestly, I think your parents in some way actually respect you more when you come forward with your mistakes, because in some way, A, they feel like you respect them. And B, I think it also kind of affirms the fact that, like, oh, we have a relationship to where you felt somewhat comfortable coming to me with these problems.
All right, so tell me if you agree with these numbers. Just speaking of parenting, almost 3 in 4 millennial parents think they're doing a better job with their kids than their own parents did. So 73% of millennial parents think I'm crushing it and I'm doing better than my boomer parents did.
I think that's probably accurate. And I think it's just because millennials have more resources. And so you got to give your parents grace in the Gen X or the boomer generation, because they didn't have like people telling them to read parenting books. Like, they had parents telling them to just like rub dirt in the wound and move on. But like, you get on TikTok and you click 2 videos about parenting, and all of a sudden your entire For You page is incredible parenting advice on how to actually raise your child in a very healthy way. So I do think millennials are probably doing a better job.
So 88%, that's a lot, say their parenting style is different than what their parents did. And that's like, you evolve with new information, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are parents doing differently? According to a poll, here are the top 4 parenting strategies. Gentle parenting, a style that guides children through the decision-making process without the parents setting demands and rules.
Oh, yeah, I didn't experience that.
Yeah. No, I don't think a lot of people do that. Yeah.
I had hard slap in the face parenting.
Where millennials get advice. So 24% have gotten parenting advice from social media, but other than that, it really hasn't changed much. It's only the 5th most trusted source for advice behind family, other parents, friends, and parenting books. Another big thing is being open about mental health. Your own parents may have just said, buck up, buttercup.
Yep, get through it.
But 80% of millennial parents think discussions about mental health and emotional well-being are important. 98% are willing to talk to their kids about it. 2/3 say their parents never did. And then the last one is being present with your kids. 80% of millennial parents claim they always tried to prioritize their kids over work, and 77% think they're more present with their children than their own parents were.
That makes sense. You should learn from your parents' mistakes and evolve and become better parents than they were. So it's going in the right direction, if that's accurate.
The Burt Show.
She's doing this out of the kindness of her heart because she cares so deeply about her best friend.
Okay.
And she doesn't want her best friend to be with a trash dude.
I completely agree. You never want your friend to date a total loser.
She thinks her best friend is dating a guy who is on Hinge. At least that's the word on the streets, is that he's on Hinge. So she wants us to test him to figure out if he is for sure. Hey, Sonia, thanks for joining the Burt Show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. So tell us a little bit about your best friend, and then also tell us about the guy that she's been dating.
So my best friend, she's dating a dude. I think he's trash, but whatever. They've been dating for probably about 5 months, but I don't know. My spidey senses go off about him. Like, I just don't like him. He doesn't, he just doesn't treat her right to me. He didn't get her anything for her birthday. He barely talks to any of us when we all try to hang out together. He doesn't talk to us. He's really dismissive of us. He doesn't like her to hang out with us by herself. And he talked her out of going on our girls trip. So I really don't like him. And I just think he's conniving and he's up to something. I don't trust him. I don't trust him at all.
I can understand with all that why your gut is like, I don't like this dude. Especially when a guy comes in and you feel like he's taking your friend away. And like, it's one thing for your friend to like be hanging out and, you know, she has other things to occupy her time. But when it seems like it's very intentional on his behalf, I can see why you know, your spidey senses would be up. And like, how long have you been friends with her?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I've been friends for like 4 years.
Okay. And so what is this that you heard about him potentially being on Hinge?
So a girl that I know told me that she saw him on Hinge. So I told my best friend about it, but she doesn't believe it because she doesn't want to believe he say, she say. Well, I'm like, well, don't just be he say, she say, go look. forget what we say, go check it out. But, you know, he's a good-looking dude. He's not a complete gargoyle. So maybe she thinks maybe somebody just stole his picture and is, you know, creating a fake account or something. But I don't believe it. I think he is on there for real.
Gotcha. So I'm not super familiar with Hinge. So, Abby, how easy would it be to set, like, use somebody's photo and set up a fake profile?
Oh, so easy. There's actually a couple of guys in our city that I see over and over that I'm like, oh, there's the catfishes again. And it's always the profiles that are a little bit too good to be true. I'm like, there's no reason a man with that perfect facial symmetry should be liking me. Like, I know that it's some man in his basement trying to get some cash out of me or to embarrass me at a bar by showing up and not looking like the pics.
Gotcha. So there could be some, maybe a smidge of legitimacy to her.
To him getting his profile stolen?
To her cover up for him, yeah.
Well, especially if he's objectively attractive, maybe he has a social media following. But what I think is probably the more likely story is that he maybe just didn't delete his Hinge profile because you can still be found on the apps whether you're active or not. Now, the difference is, obviously, like if you match with somebody, you know that they're active, but Hinge actually has a little red light or a green light feature that shows when people are on the app. So if it says active now, it means that he's on the app or he's been on the app in like the last hour.
But it doesn't tell you like the last time that somebody was on it. It just tells you if they've been on it in that amount of time.
No, it only tells you if they've currently been on the app, like within the last like 30 minutes or so.
Gotcha. All right. And so, Sonia, I know you've heard like our To Catch a Cheater segments, and we have Instagram Scam, we have Snapchat Sting, we're doing Busted on Bumble now, and you heard that he might be on Hinge. So you want us to try to set him up on Hinge. Not in the good way.
Get to the truth.
Please, yes.
All right, so that's exactly what you're going to do. So you're going to give our show director, Tommy, his information and send a photo because we obviously need to know like who we're looking out for. And I have several friends who have been wronged in the past. And so if they have free time, they're always down to like, you know, do a little sleuthing and they'll use their dating app profiles. And I have a couple of friends who have Hinge. So they'll get on Hinge tonight and peruse and see if they can find anything. And we can confirm or try to confirm whether or not he is on there.
I feel like your friend is going to have to really make it very clear because it sounds like her friend is not in the business of being convinced about this guy. So your friend is going to have to really step a game up on this one.
Abby, can you do screenshots?
I could absolutely keep an eye out for it. I've been on Hinge a little bit more recently because I've had some very strange messages sent my way. So it's now become a really fun form of entertainment. But Sonia, I am really feeling you here because I've had so many friends that have been completely stolen away by these trash humans. And I know how frustrating it is to be so close to your bestie and to enjoy those girls' night outs and have those girls' trips. And for all of a sudden for this man to just take them and they're not even trying to be a part of the friend group and integrate themselves in your life just makes me so angry. So I'll be swiping through Hinge trying to see if we can find this man. We're going to take him down.
That came from deep.
I really felt that somewhere.
Very deep.
All right, Sonia, we're going to work on it tonight. We'll report back tomorrow, okay?
Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you.
The Burt Show.
All right, Entertainment Buzz on the way.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
You know, most days I'm not really proud to be a Floridian. And today is one of those days because Florida is about to have one of the most restrictive social media bans for minors. So a bill just got signed by Governor Ron DeSantis on Monday, and it's going to ban social media accounts for kids under 14, and it's going to require parental permission for 14 and 15 year olds. So this is actually a better version of a bill that already got vetoed where they were going to just do 16 and up are allowed to have social media profiles. Now the 14 and 15 year olds can have it with parents' permission. They're saying a child in their brain development doesn't have the ability to know that they're being sucked into these addictive technologies and to see the harm and step away from it. And because of that, we have to step in for them. So other states have actually considered similar legislation. Arkansas already vetoed a bill that was going to require parental consent for minors to create social media accounts. But right now, it looks like Florida is blazing the trail on this.
As a parent, I'm not mad at it.
Really?
No, I'm not. Because of all the studies that have come out recently and how social media is negatively affecting kids. Now, don't get me wrong. I think it is the parents' responsibility. But my husband and I are in a fortunate position where we can be hands-on and he gets to be a stay-at-home dad. And I know some parents, if you're working multiple jobs and you're just, you don't have those kind of resources. While I do think it's the parents' responsibility, and I just did a quick search of social media effects on kids. And real quick, Yale Medicine, according to a research study of American teens aged 12 to 15, those who use social media over 3 hours each day face twice the risk of negative mental health outcomes, including depression and anxiety. Mm. And just the research that has come out as of recently, if you get damning research like that and how bad social media is for our kids, restrict it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I'm not mad at it either. I'm glad that I grew up without social media.
God, and
that
you and me both.
Oh my, I am so happy that I didn't have that. And having two younger sisters and one who is really embedded in social media and the other who doesn't use it at all, I can certainly see the difference in how they handle things and just how they approach things. And yeah, I'm not mad at delaying social media use for any of the youth.
Child Mind Institute says how using social media affects teenagers. Experts say kids are growing up with more anxiety and less self-esteem.
Mm.
So I think it's just because of these articles that I have seen. And I got a 3-year-old, right? So I'm thankfully not in the thick of this. But those that have preteens and teenagers, and Bert has been candid with, trying to curb his son's phone use. I'm an adult woman. I'm addicted to my phone. And I can catch myself scrolling on Instagram and in Reels for, who knows how long. So now put yourself at younger and you have less, I feel like, less control. It seems like I can see how it feels like an overreach and it's not their business. But if it's in order to protect our kids' mental health, I'm hard-pressed to disagree with it, man.
It's so interesting because I'm the one person in this room that grew up with social media.
I was going to ask you, how old were you when social media was introduced into your life?
I think Instagram came out when I was maybe in 8th grade. And then I had a Facebook, I think, at 12 or 13 years old. Okay. And honestly, I don't look... And I think maybe the social media landscape has changed because as it's gotten more popular, more people are on it and more negativity comes out of it. But I remember... It was not a negative thing for me until high school. And that's because there were certain, kids just got meaner. You know what I mean? Kids are going to be mean wherever, So I didn't really have a problem with it until I was the ages where it was allowed. So to me, I guess it's not so much that I think that this is a bad bill. I just think that it's not really going to accomplish what they think it's going to accomplish. And maybe that sounds defeatist, but I just don't think it's going to make the difference that it's going to.
And when it comes to the government, I'm hard pressed to believe that there's good intention. I feel like this is just a political grab and a votes grab, et cetera. But you can't, you honestly can't deny the research that is out and how social media is negatively affecting our kids from a mental health standpoint.
Well, I know a lot of parents are going to be happy about this because I've talked to a couple of people on Bert's Big Adventure where they were talking about how, their older kids are so frustrated because they're not allowed to have social media, but their peers are. Yeah. It's not so much that they want to have Instagram or Facebook so bad, but they just don't want to miss out on what everyone else is doing. So I think it's going to make it a lot easier on parents if it does go through. It is set to go in place January 1st, as long as because there's no more or no lawsuits that go against it. Because I'm sure Instagram and Facebook are going
to
be.
They'll have something to say about it.
Yeah, swinging their bats. All right, Sean Diddy Combs has been spotted for the first time since his homes were raided by the feds. I'll tell you what he's up to now that he's under investigation on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
All right, so a friend of Mo's inadvertently went viral because of this beef she had with the wax company. Explain, or what kind of wax are we talking about here?
A Brazilian.
Okay. All right. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's where I was going in my head. And I was like, is this like an actual, like you go and you get like, you know, different parts waxed kind of company?
Yes, exactly that.
And they did something to her that she feels she shouldn't have to pay for.
Yep. I don't know why my head went immediately to like Madame Tussauds. I was like, does she have a wax sculpture out of her? Like, is that why they did her dirty? They made her look bad, but this is way more interesting.
I was thinking beeswax. I'm like, maybe it's a candle. It has something to do with candles. But I'm like, I'm hoping it has something to do with like, you know, wax.
It does. And this is why I need you ladies help, because I know nothing about this, but I do know that my friend is in an all-out war with a wax business, and it's over millions of views at this point.
Really?
Yes.
I will have this is so timely, because I just got a wax yesterday from Sweet Peach Wax and Sugaring Studio. Ding.
Well, I might need to send my friend there, because I don't think she's going to be going back to this place anymore. So she goes into this place. She's a regular there. And I guess she has the same person who normally does it for her. And she's never had any problems. She's been going there for years.
Because if you're getting a Brazilian, if you're not familiar, they're taking everything off down there. Like you're like everything off the front. And then you actually roll over and you spread them cheeks and they take everything off the back. So you're kind of in an intimate position, to say the least. So it's nice to have somebody that you have rapport with, that you trust with hot wax down there.
That would make sense why you would have the same person. So in this particular case,
I had a baby and everybody's seen it. So I'm just like, whoever, I don't care.
Just fix me.
Yeah.
She was going to a vacation. So it was timely of when she needed this. And it just so happened that the person she normally goes to, she was already on vacation. So she had to have a substitute waxer, if you will.
A fill-in.
And so she goes thinking that she's going to get the same thing she always gets. So I guess the way it's set up for her, she doesn't even have to go in there and say what I want. Like, they already know.
It's in the computer.
They charge her card automatically. Is what it is. That's the way it's supposed to go, to my understanding. So this particular time, when she gets the new person starts putting the wax, like, on her legs instead of just in the area where she normally gets waxed. So she didn't think anything of it in the moment. She just thought, okay, this must be something extra that she does. This must be a part of her routine. She didn't say anything about it. She just let her do a thing. So then when they charged her card, she realized that they overcharged her about $50 more than they normally would.
So when you say they put, well, okay, so you're laying there on the table and you're doing the butterfly. So you have to put the soles of your feet together so they can get into all your parts and wax.
I'm really trying not to picture you in this position.
I did it yesterday, and I love them because they play Sex and the City. So there was like this really graphic scene playing on the TV from a Sex and the City episode as all of this is going down. And I'm like, this is a little bit awkward. So how much of her leg did they wax?
So like the top thigh part.
Okay.
And she says she doesn't have hair there. There's no need to wax there. She's never asked for that.
Yeah.
She doesn't even know why that was a thing. But as soon as she gets to, she sees her charge, she sees that extra $50 that they've never charged her. So she calls to figure out what's the issue. And they tell her, well, we waxed your leg as well as the Brazilian. So she's like, but I didn't ask you to do that. I don't even know why she did that. So then the lady proceeds to tell her, well, you didn't tell her not to do it. You didn't ask her to stop. And so she was like, yeah, in that moment I was confused and it was already done. Like, she just did it without asking me. I didn't need to be waxed there. I have no hair there. It was like pointless. And they were like, well, we did it. So we can't not charge you for a service that you received. So she's obviously pissed. And she's like, are you kidding? I go there all the time. I get the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Y'all charge my card the same price. She's livid about this.
And I don't blame her, because especially if you're like a recurring client and you have established a relationship with the business, then I feel like this is one they need to take on the chin. A hairless one at that. and they would just go ahead and refund her the $50.
You would think, but they doubled down and said, we have to charge you. She said the most that they can do is offer her, I think, a 5% or 10% discount or whatever it was.
No.
And she turned it down and was like, I want to speak to the manager who is currently on vacation. So she said, I can let you speak to the manager, but she's telling my friend, like, the manager's going to tell you the same thing. I can assure you that the manager's going to say the same. But if you want to speak to her, you can. So she's now in limbo waiting for the manager to get back so that they can fix this $50 charge, which now she's like, I have to wait a week and it's $50. So a part of her wants to just say, forget it. But when she posted her situation online, it ended up going viral. And everybody is like behind her saying, girl, no, like, no, get your money back. That's wrong of them, especially with you being a reoccurring client.
Exactly. And I know I've been in a position before where I was going in to get a treatment and got something different and didn't say anything because I was kind of confused. And then when I came out and said, you gave me the wrong treatment, they were like, but you took that one. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not the one I ordered. And that's not the one you made the mistake.
Right.
So if they made the mistake, then they should just fall on that sword.
This is so shady. And I'm starting to think that a lot of places like this are doing this specifically to scam their regulars out of getting more or out of paying more money. So the exact same thing happened to me. It was the worst facial I'd ever gotten in my life. I was going there. It was like a very nice resort here in Georgia. And I was going right before a big event. And I just said, hey, be really gentle on my skin. I'm going to wear makeup later. I'm just kind of here to relax and like have a good time. And so in the middle of the facial, she goes, oh, do you want me to dermaplane you? And I'm thinking, oh, maybe that's like the more gentle option. Maybe she's going to dermaplane me because I asked her to be gentle. And so I'm like, sure, dermaplane me. Turns out the dermaplaning was $75 extra.
Nope.
And didn't say anything. She was just like, oh, like very casually, like as if she wanted me to like, as if she was asking if I wanted to like exchange recipes. Like, oh, do you want like a dermaplane? And I was like, sure, Mom. I'm in a vulnerable position. I'm naked and I don't know what to do. So not only do I want her to say something, I'm adamant that she does because I think more people have to start standing up for themselves so people don't continue to do this and scam their people out of money.
I completely agree. I told her to keep fighting a good fight.
Yeah, we're standing behind her in solidarity. So like, keep us updated and hopefully she gets her money back.
I'll let y'all know how it goes.
At least she got some smooth legs.
Yeah, she does. She's ready to go.
The Burt Show.
All right, she's been dating a guy for a couple of months with a great origin story, but she just found out his origin story is not true.
Ooh.
So should she dump him immediately? All right, if you ever have any kind of drama or you need advice, you can always hit us up at theburtshow.com. Shoot us an email and we'll try to help you out. And hey, who knows? Maybe somebody in the Burt Show fam has been through something similar. But the email goes, good morning. I'm going to try and shorten this story just a bit, but it's a wild one. A little over a year ago, my husband cheated on me and left our family 11 days before Christmas. The divorce process has been messy, to say the least. Thinking about getting back out into the dating scene in my 30s with 3 kids is overwhelming. I barely dipped my toe in the beginning of this year. Just started with Facebook dating. It wasn't the most encouraging to start, but I ended up matching with a guy I became interested in. While he is located a few hours from me for work, he immediately put in the effort and made the trip for just a few hours of my time. He opens all the doors. He sent me flowers. He made the trip multiple times. He told me he's from out of state. He's been married once and has 3 kids. Now, I'm that FBI friend you call when you want to find out everything about somebody. So I've done a little digging myself. And I think he's been married at least twice and may have 5 to 6 children. Now I'm questioning everything. But anything I've asked, he either has some excuse I can't prove otherwise, or he gets defensive. Part of me thinks I should just cut and run regardless. But also, I want to know if I'm crazy or if he's just a liar.
Well, you lost me at Facebook dating because I don't feel like you could trust anybody on Facebook dating. I don't know why, but it just seems like that is the rock bottom of trying to find your soulmate. Like, catch me in 20 years, finally, like, settling down with, like, a 5'8 guy I met on Facebook dating. Like, that, to me, is what you would do on Facebook with this kind of guy. So, I don't know. I think if you think something's up, if your gut is telling you that something is up and you have some proof, I think that tells you all you need to know. I think we get so many red flags in the beginning of relationships that in the name of love and in the name of having a crush, we overlook because it's so much more fun and it's so much more exciting to just ignore it and enjoy the happiness that the first 3 months of a relationship can bring. But I think your gut will tell you all you need to know. Don't ignore it. And I think you got to be sussed out by this.
All right, let's go through the red flags.
Okay.
Shall we? Mm-hmm. All right, so red flag number one.
Facebook dating.
There we go. honestly, we could end it there. Okay. I think red flag number two is that he lives a few hours away from you, and he's the one that, like, it seems sweet and endearing that he's making the effort to see you, mm-hmm. but if you've never had to travel to see him or he hasn't wanted you to do that, that is a red flag.
And he immediately put in the effort and made the trip for just a few hours of her time. I mean, I'm sure that's sweet, but it could also be a bit red flaggish.
And then we have excuses. And him getting defensive, which can be a manipulation tactic. It can be a little bit of gaslighting going on there. I know you went through, like, you waited a decent amount of time because it's been, you know, over a year since, you know, you went through the divorce process and you're just dipping your toe in. I feel like you could dip your toe in with a better candidate.
Yeah, there's just so many people out there that you could try that are not on Facebook dating. May I recommend Hinge, the cesspool of all dating apps? But you will find at least one person on there that is a little bit endearing that won't make your red flag radar go wee wee wee.
All right, so Abby, Lisa wants to call you out. She says Facebook dating is not rock bottom.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lisa.
Hey, Lisa.
Hello, you all. Yeah, I just want to say that Facebook dating is not rock bottom. I know several couples who met and had success on Facebook dating, as well as just being in the DMs. I have high school classmates who've met. I'm in my 50s. I'm 52. I'll be 52 in May. So I don't know if age has something to do with it, but I'm on all of the apps. So I do not think that Facebook dating is rock bottom. It's just another tool, the same way Hinge, Tinder, Bumble, and all the others are. And you get these same weirdos and cheaters on Bumble and Tinder and Hinge. So to me, it's all the same, and it's not rock bottom. And do not throw Facebook dating away.
All right, so Lisa.
Success. Yes.
Thank you for calling, Lisa. Also, if you had to give one dating app the title of rock bottom, is there one that you would give that title to?
Well, only because of I'm only on Tinder, Bumble, and Hinge, so I would just have to say Tinder.
Got it.
I ain't mad at that.
Because that's just your booty call app, right?
Yeah. That's all that is.
Tinder, it's 1 a.m., you're lonely, you need someone to hold you down at night. That's Tinder.
Yeah, I think she should run. Trust your instincts on this one for sure.
Yeah, this just doesn't, it doesn't seem worth it to me.
Not at all. It's too soon for you to be going through this type of stuff with a guy. Like, if you got these instincts, get up out of
here. Yeah, log back on to Facebook dating and find yourself somebody else.
All right, so we're going to take one more call. We're going to take Tina, Abby, because we might have to get you to drop all the other apps and get on Facebook.
What?
Ooh, Facebook dating. For your neck.
Hey, Tina, welcome to the show. What do you have to say about Facebook dating?
I met my significant other on Facebook dating, and it's the best relationship I've had. And I know one of my best friends met her significant other on Facebook dating, and they're very happy. And I've tried other dating apps like eHarmony and Match, and all I came across were creeps on those apps. But on Facebook dating, I was the first person that I went out with on Facebook dating, and it's been wonderful since.
Congratulations. All right, Abby, are you willing to do a little scientific research?
You know what? I'm willing to do anything in the name of love. But when I end up at the bottom of a ditch somewhere because someone has murdered me, I'm blaming you guys.
You're on The Burt Show.
Abby, you had a nice little jaunt to North Georgia. Tell us how Dahlonega's doing.
I had the best Saturday. If you know me, you know my favorite thing to do is to go wine tasting. So I ended up scheduling this whole tour to all the North Georgia wineries with the One Less Lonely Girl Squad, which, if you don't know, is this Facebook group I started for girls here in Atlanta to get out and do stuff together. And I've been wanting to do this for a while, but it's really expensive unless you have a big group. Mm. Like, we booked with North Georgia Wine Tours, which was a really good deal, but albeit if you're just going to pay with like three people, it can be like pretty pricey. And so we all split it between 14 people, and it was such a good deal. And they end up taking us to three wineries. You get lunch at a place, and then you go to two other wineries, and you start taking, you start getting those wine flights. And as somebody who's going to Napa next week and has planned this whole trip to California, I have to say there's one thing that the North Georgia wineries have over the ones in Napa that, honestly, I feel like my expectations for Napa are a little bit higher.
Really?
So if you've ever planned a trip to Napa, which if you had, Godspeed to you, because this thing is expensive. I'm so glad I'm going on my mom's dime. But you have to make reservations at different wineries. You can't just show up and say, hey, I want to drink some wine. You have to make plans. You have to have a schedule. You have to pick the ones close to each other because there's no Uber. So sometimes you have to bike to them. And my only criteria with picking wineries in Napa was that they were really pretty, and I just wanted to go to a place that has a really good aesthetic.
It's all about the gram, baby.
I'm like, it's Napa. The wine's going to be great.
Yeah, true.
You know what needs to be great? My Instagram picture. So when my mom and I were making plans, I was just scouring for the prettiest wineries. I'm like, we need to find three to go on this day that all have like a cottage aesthetic, one that looks like a castle. And I was surprised at how hard it was to find wineries that were aesthetically pleasing, because a lot of them kind of looks similar. Some of them look like dystopian adobe ranch style houses, very boring, like minimalistic, but very like chic and kind of boring.
Probably because they're focused on the wine.
I know.
And the nerve of them.
But listen, there's hundreds of wineries in Napa. Entice me to go to yours, because I know that your wine's probably going to be pretty good, but like make the little castle thing where I'm going to be tasting the wine aesthetically pleasing.
Stand out a little bit.
Yeah. Try a little harder, Napa. So I finally found a couple that I was really excited to go to because they're pretty and I'll get a good picture. And so then when we went to the ones in North Georgia, every single one we went to, it doesn't matter what the building looks like, it is the most stunning,
yeah,
aesthetically pleasing place you could drink wine. Like, of course, all of the buildings are really cute and very homey and feel like you're in North Georgia, but they're all like nestled in the mountains. So you're sitting there drinking wine and I'm literally like, are we quite literally in the heavens? Because you are up in the mountains. You have a scenic view of just all of the beautiful mountain ranges and the vineyards. We did not go to a single ugly winery. And I didn't even make these reservations because all of them were so stunning. I remember we were having lunch at Wolf Mountain Winery.
That's where Cassie got married.
And I see why, because it was so beautiful.
It is nice.
And we're sitting there in the cafe having lunch and you're just looking out at these gorgeous mountain ranges and
it's
the sky
beautiful.
Is blue. I mean, I don't know how Napa's going to top it, honestly. I mean, like, again, wine is wine. Like, everything's going to be good, but it was so beautiful and we had such a good time bopping around. So
good.
I highly recommend checking it out if you haven't gone to North Georgia yet for the wineries.
It is. It's gorgeous. And this time of year, let's get through the great pollinating. And then after that, like, for sure, the weather's going to be like just impeccable and it would be a great time to go and scope everything out.
Oh, yeah. I'm hoping to go back in the summer.
All right, so you sent me a video about drink orders that are sus, and there was one fact in there about gin and tonics. Is that legit? Is that real?
Yeah, I fact-checked it.
You did fact-check it? Okay.
And you know what? It makes a ton of sense because every guy that I have ever known will drink a gin and tonic. And knowing this fun fact, well, I don't know if I would call it fun, knowing this scary fact, it starts to make a lot of sense. So this is from an account called Joy X Jump. You got to look out for the people that are drinking gin and teas.
What's one drink or cocktail that if someone orders, you're keeping an eye on them for the rest of the night?
Gin and tonic every time.
Gin and tonics are nasty. And the number one drink ordered by serial killers. That's a fact. I have two answers because they're both just as dangerous as the other. Any formation of a Long Island iced tea. Another version, an AMF.
Who's of the legal drinking age that orders a Long Island iced tea?
Oh, you'd be stunned. And the worst part is a lot of people don't know what it is. This one's just as dangerous for a different reason. The green tea shot.
Oh, those are dangerous.
Because they're really good.
They're really good.
So I'm not like upset if you order it, but I'm scared because you're probably going to have 8 to 9.
You know how shocked I was when I found out there was no green tea in green tea shots?
It messed your life up a little bit.
I was like, wait a second. What do you mean there's whiskey in this?
But we're true crime buddies. And so I heard that and I'm like, I was hoping you fact checked it. And I'm like, so it's fact that gin and tonics were a popular drink for serial killers. That is true?
For psychopaths specifically. And it's funny because most serial killers are white males. Uh-huh. And the only people I know that drink gin and tonics are white guys.
Yeah, I've never even had a gin and tonic before.
No, I got alcohol poisoning off gin when I was 21.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Definitely not younger than 21.
No, of course not.
And I smell Tangeray, and it's like.
I want no parts of it. That is very fascinating, though, that that's a psychopath drink.
I know, right?
It's funny, because I was asking my brother, because I feel like everybody has that one liquor that they demonize. Like, you had one bad experience with it, and you could never drink it again. And I asked my brother at the wedding I was at a couple weeks ago, I'm like, what liquor is that for you? And he's like, gin. I'm like, that's so specific that you drank too much gin. I have one glass of something with gin in it. I'm like, that's enough. That tastes like a Christmas tree. Yeah. I'm good.
It's funny he pointed out Long Island too, because my best friend is a bartender and he always told me don't order Long Island. Like, you always be judged. And he doesn't even know why. He doesn't have a true explanation as to why, but bartenders tend to judge you if you order any version of a Long Island iced tea.
I just feel like you have a problem with drinking because there's so many different alcohols in there.
You're trying to get to where you're going fast. Yeah.
No, you're trying to take a one-way trip to Vomit Lane is what you're doing.
All right, so our mayor, Andre Dickens, had his State of the City speech yesterday and let the city of Atlanta know that Atlanta is going to install a new station for its MARTA rail system, actually several of them. And it's going to be happening on the south side, and it's going to give us access to the Beltline.
Oh, nice. Oh,
right? Fire me up.
So this new station is going to be situated at Murphy Crossing.
Oh, shout out Murphy.
Yeah. We'll also be the first to connect directly to the Beltline. And what Mayor Dickens said was investments like Murphy Crossing and high-capacity transit on Campbellton Road will ensure that residents on the south side will have access to the best Atlanta has to offer. So according to the mayor, this will be the first of three additional infill stations, essentially new stations built on the existing line that MARTA hopes to build throughout the city.
That makes sense. It seems like you would have imagined MARTA was going to the Beltline before. I didn't realize it wasn't.
Yep.
That's one of the places it definitely should go.
And I mean, I tell you, I know I feel like they get a lot of crap, but for us, like, MARTA is smarter. Like, whenever we're going downtown, especially to if it's a Falcons game, if it's a Hawks game, if it's an Atlanta United game, my husband and I hop at that Lenox station and we just take MARTA all the way down because it's so much better than dealing with the traffic on 7585.
I've only taken MARTA about three times since being here, but I've never had a problem. It was smooth as it could be, but all times.
I don't know. It's going to sound like I'm endorsing them, and I'm not. They have the MARTA app. And so instead of having to do the MARTA card, you just hold your phone up to the gate and it just lets you right in.
Oh my God. I still haven't taken MARTA yet.
You haven't?
I know, because I haven't had like a reason to take it down there yet, but I want to because I hate having to Uber downtown because I get so car sick, so I might be martyring to our next Atlanta United game.
It's convenient. You should.
It's the Burt Show.
You're on the Burt Show.